Today's daf is daf Pei Gimel in Sanhedrin. We're back on Pei Beis, I'm in Beis, and we're in the middle of Pinchas. The Mishnah that we learned on the bottom Pei Aleph on the Beis talked about Kanayim Pogim Bo. Kanayim Pogim Bo is a very passionate halacha that if you're a Kanai, if you are somebody who really has a passionate regard for God's honor in this world, so you can take the law into your own hands. And by that, the Mishnah tells us that under certain circumstances, and only under certain times, you can actually kill somebody. The Mishnah gave three examples. The Mishnah talked about stealing clay shares, mekala bekosem, cursing, but not cursing God with God, cursing God with some other supernatural force, and bol aramis, and having relations with a non-Jew. There is no mention in the Mishnah, this came up yesterday's daf, there is no mention in the Mishnah about whether this is done privately or this is done publicly. And yet, the sense is, the feeling is, that this has to be done publicly in order for it to be halacha of Kanayim Pogim Bo. It is interesting, the Mishnah makes no mention of it. And in the ensuing Gemara, the Gemara also doesn't make mention of it, but I looked a little bit at the Rambam yesterday, and the Rambam does make mention of it. It has to be befarhes, it has to be public, in order to adopt the halacha of Kanayim Pogim Bo. Okay? Six miracles took place with Pinchas.
Because otherwise, everybody's going to kill people in private. But, you know,
yeah, I guess. It's just interesting. Act. I know. I understand that. It's just interesting that the Mishnah in Or Gemara really mentions it. Okay. I know it's assumed, but I'd like to know where it comes from. We are at the top of Pei Beis. I'm at Beis 182b. We're towards the top of the page. I'm Rav Yochanan. It's five lines from the top of the page. I'm Rav Yochanan. Shisha nisim nasul lePinchas. Okay, so the Rav Yochanan is going to count six separate miracles that happened with Pinchas. Number one, Echash Ayala Zimri Lifrash Veloparash. Number one, Zimri should have separated. We learned yesterday that part of the oddity of this halacha of Kanayim Pogim Bo is that you can only do B'shas Maisa. You can only do it at the time of the action. After the action is over, that's it. You no longer have the right to kill. And it's no longer, in retrospect, it's no longer viewed as a capital crime. So you can't kill the individual. So Zimri at that point in time should have just simply stopped having bia with Cosby, and that should have been the end of that. And then you no longer would have been chayav the death penalty. Two, Echash Ayelo Daber Velo Diber. He should have spoke. What is he going to say? Rashi says Lizok La Anche Shifto Lisayur. Should have screamed out for help. Okay, he didn't. Three. Echad shekivim bezachruso shel isha v'nikvosa shel isha. The aim of Pinchas. Pinchas took the spear and inserted it right into the genital area of both Zimri and Cosby. And again, we'll see in just a moment, in order to demonstrate to the people outside that he was doing this as an act of kanos. Number four, echad shelo nishmatu min haromach. They didn't slip off the spear, meaning they stuck to the spear, both Cosby and Zimri. Number five, the Malach comes and lifts up the lintel of the house. So that means to say, explains Rashi, that when he walks out of the house, and he's walking now with Zimri and Cosby, tent, house, whatever it was. Okay, fine. Lentil sounds like it's structured. Okay, but you're right. It was in the desert. The igbiat the mashkof, and he lifts up the mashkof, and so that way, when he walks out with the pole, he doesn't have to move the pole. He could sit there with them on the pole. The echad sheba malach, and then number six sheba malach v'hishchid ba'am, and the malach comes and starts killing people. And Rashi says, and the point of that is, says Rashi, because it'll prevent people from wanting to kill Pinchas. Pinchas, there are people who are going to look at Pinchas, just commit murder, not just commit murder, but kill the head of Shevet Shimon. And you can only imagine that would have caused a riot, should have caused a riot, but the Malachim were out there, and the Malachim were making sure that nobody would touch Pinchas. He then throws him down, and now here he speaks to God. And he speaks to God in what seems to us to be a very brazen manner. Just because of these two, 24,000 of the Jewish people should die, does it make sense? Pasuk says very clearly, 24,000 people die. And so Pinchas says to God, it's not fair, it's not right, it does not seem just. Hainu dichsiv, and now we know pshat in the pasuk in Tehillim. Vayamod Pinchas vayipalel. Now usually what you would expect the word to read is vayitpalel. That would be tefillah, that would be davening, but it doesn't say that. It says vayipalel. Amar Rabbi Lazar vayipalel on Amar Ela vayipalel malamish kaviyachol shasa plilus im kono. Takes God to court. Right? The word plilim comes up in a couple times in Chumash, and it always means go to court. So he takes God to court. Bikshu malachi ashar ledachvo. So the malachi ashar, so to say, want to push him away and say, I cannot believe that this is how Pinchas is speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with that kind of chutzpah. And they wanted to push him away. Amar lahem inichu lo. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Malachim, it's fine. Kanai ben Kanai hu. He's a Kanai. And I guess part of the personality of the Kanai is that's how they talk, right? Look, he defends me, but at the same time, you know, that's also the kind of talk you're gonna get out of a Kanai. Meshiv Chema ben Meshiv Chema hu. Meshiv Chema ben Meshiv Chema, says Rashi, that's the reference to Aaron. Aaron also... takes away God's anger. Pinchas does a similar thing. And now other tribes start to degrade Pinchas, and they say the following: he's related to Yisro on his mother's side. Rashi brings down. So. Right, Avi Ima, the father of his mother, meaning a mention of reference to Yisro, he was mifatim of agal ma'avodas kochavim, the harag nasi shevet mi Yisrael, and this is what a hypocrite. This is a someone whose grandfather was Ovid Avodah Zarah, and now he's so religious now, and he kills people on behalf of God. Right? Hypocrite. V'alchaz v'yachzu Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron a kohen. So that's why when you see Pinchas being mentioned in the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, it says Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. I'm like Hashem Baruch Moshe, hiktim lo shalom. Right, says I'm going to give him shalom. Shanem lachin amoy ninasan lo is brisi shalom. Ve'ruuya kapara se'zu shetei mechaperes veholachis la'olam. And this kapara that he achieved through this action is going to be an enduring kapara. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, my dichsev. The Gemara now, from this point until we get to the two dots, which is about 10 lines from now, is going to get extraordinarily graphic in terms of Zimri Cosby, the relations, the intimacy that Zimri and Cosby had. The Gemara does this. The Gemara does get graphic. Certainly, we could put a rating on this Gemara, but that's just the Gemara is not prude about describing these types of actions. I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Maidich Siv, the Pasuk says, Zarzar Masnayim, Otayash Umelech Elkom Imo. Pasuk and Mishle, which now what the Gemara is going to do is Darshan, in reference to the act of Pinchas and Zimri and Cosby. So we'll start off with the word Zarzir Masnayim. The word Zarzir, in of itself, I don't know what it means. The Gemara is right now not focusing on what it means, but the Gemara is focusing on its Gematria. Reish and Reisha, 200 times 2 is 400. 2 Zines is another 14. Yud is 10. So 424. Dalin Meos Ve'esim Va'arba Be'ilos Bal Oso Rasha Oso Hayom. So he had, Zimri had relations with Cosby 424 times. Now normally I would say that's an exaggeration. I would say that over here, but in general we find that like when the Gemara wants to use exaggerative numbers, the Gemara will use numbers like 300, right? A rounded number. So it is an oddity over here that the Gemara is choosing a very specific number, 424, based on a gematria of a certain word. But 424 obviously sounds like it's exaggerated. Now, Pinchas was waiting until he got tired out. This is precedented, actually not precedented, but we find this later on as well in Tanakh by Ya'el. Right? Ya'el does the same thing. Right, exactly. Right, same thing. Over there, if I remember correctly, it was 7 times. Here it's 424 times. That's Okay, it's a bizarre ratio. And he didn't know, Pinchas didn't know, he didn't have to wait. Meaning that what he was doing is thinking, I'll wait till he gets tired out, and then I'll go and I'll kill him, and I won't get much resistance. He didn't need to, says the Gemara, based on the Pasuk of Mishlei. He ain't yodesh shemalach el kom imo. That's the end of that Pasuk in Mishlei. Melach el kom imo, the word el kom over here is a derivative of nekama. God is no king. Shemalach el kom imo. The Masnisa Tana, now before we get to the next part, let's do this and then we'll go back. The Masnisa Tana, Shishaba Shanasa Kebetza Muzeris. In a Braisa, we have it 60 times. Anchanatzika Beitza Muzeris, until his Beitzim became like Muzeris, like almost like scrambled eggs, if you will. It's a terrible reference, I'm sorry. The he I saw, now, it's interesting. He's thinking, let's just bring out one point. He's thinking, you know, I'm not sure if God is with me, so I'm going to wait till he gets tired out. Just conceptually speaking, it's a little bit strange. Meaning he's a Kanai. In other words, this for him is an act of passion, and passion over here meant in a very religious passion, in other words, in a fervor, and then he goes in, you would think an act of kanos would just, you know, he would just rush right in and just, you know, and not be cold and calculated and wait. And meanwhile, and the Pasuk in Mishlei, it's almost like chastising him. The Pasuk in Mishlei sounds like, you know, you didn't need to wait, you just go right in there, you know, kanayim po gimbo. So it is a little bit strange that this Braisa makes it out like he's, you know, he's cold and calculated, when meanwhile, on the other hand, he's a Kanai. So, right, the two don't seem to go hand in hand. Then the Braisa, or the, I think this is part of the Braisa, I'm not sure, but V'yaisa karuga malea mayim. She was like a row of flowers, right, garden, malea mayim, that was filled with water. Meaning that he had relations with her so many times that she was saturated with him, with the zera. Amar Rav Kahana u'moshva beis sa'ah, her moshva, her bottom was beis sa'ah, the size of a sa'ah. That clearly is an exaggeration, right? That a sa'ah is a parcel of field. Okay, so that's clearly an exaggeration. Tini Rav Yosef kevishla ama, her kever, her entrance into her body was wide into the size of an ama. Again, we could say that that's an exaggeration. And again, these exaggerated terms in the Gemara obviously are alluding to something. Like there's some Torah to be gotten out of here. I didn't take a look at the Marasha, but if I'm a betting person, I'm telling you the Marasha is going to explain why these types of descriptions are used to describe her in this particular situation. Her name is not Kazbi, her name is Shevilni Batsur. Now why is she referred to as Kazbi? She was Kozev. She rebelled against her father. How exactly did she do that? Well, maybe we could go back to what we learned a little bit earlier, where her father's instructions were get to the leader, get to the head, and meanwhile she hung out with this, you know, tribal leader. Davar Acher Kazbi Shamra La Avia Kosbi. Another reason why her nickname, so to say, is Kosbi, is because Kosbi is very similar to the words Kosbi. Chew them up through me. Let me be the vehicle of destruction for the Jewish people. Kosbi Amzeh. Vahanu Dami Inshi. And another expression used by the people, common expression in the times of the Gemara, Ben Kani Lo Ravani, Shavilni Mai Baye. Between reeds and Urvani.
Ponds.
What is he?
Ponds.
Okay, whatever. Ponds. It's other types of vegetation. Shavilni Mai Baye Bahadei. Bahadi. Shavili my bai. What is she doing over there? Right? She's out there in the garden. What is she doing over there? Probably immoral activity. Bahadi kalpa dekani shavili my baiye. What is Shavili doing over there? Gafta li'ima. It speaks poorly of her mother. And the way the mother brings her up, that she hangs out over there in the pastures of the field, engaging in immoral behavior. Right. I'm Rav Yochanan Chamisha Shemos Yeshlo. There are five names to him, to Zimri. Zimri goes by five different names. Zimri, Ben Salu, Shaul, Uben Kenanis, Ushalumiel, Ben Sarishadai. Five names of of Cosby. Sorry, of Zimri. Zimri is, says the Gemara, our Gemara here, Zimri is Shlumiel ben Tzuri Shaddai. Wow. So when you read Parshas Naso and you see Shlumiel ben Tzuri Shaddai, I'm not, you know, you don't have to remember this, but you know, you think to yourself, wow, that's Zimri. So Zimri Ashenasta Kebeta Muzeres, Zimri, as we already described earlier, has to do with his Beitzim after having relations so many times. Ben Salu Al Shehisli Avonos Shomishpachto, he was Masli Solel. Yeah, there is a Rashi. Hisli she yizgru v'yisapru lashon lo sesuleh musulaim bepaz, making comparisons, speaking about them. Right, he got people to speak about him and about his family on account of his actions. Shaul al shel hishil asmol dvar avera, he lent himself to become an avera. Ben Akanani sashas amaisa kanan, he acted like a Canaanite. Umashemo, and his actual name is Shlomiel ben Tzuri Shaddai Shmo. That's his actual name. Okay?
You don't want to call Shlomiel because his part is never written right on Shabbos. The only one of the Nesim is never read on Shabbos.
How? It's never read on Shabbos.
Yeah. No, no. I'm saying that when you do... no, understand that. I'm talking about, yeah.
And Chanukah, it's not...
The only one... Can never be on Shabbos.
Like
that's why it's called Shlomiel. That's what
Wow. I never knew that.
Okay.
Okay. And that ends the sugya in the Gemara of Kanayim Pogim Bo. Okay. Let's move on.
Yes.
With the Mishnah back on Pei Alpha Med Beis. Okay. Somewhat of a disclaimer. From here until the end of today's daf, it is kachim. You'll get a taste of what Zvachim is going to be like. You're going to get a taste of what Menachos is going to be like. Okay, let's get excited. Even though it's not something that we really could relate to. Then again, Kanayim Pogim Bo, I hope we never have to relate to that as well. So the Mishnah, let's remind each other what we learned in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, Kohen Shishimish Betumah, if a Kohen does the Avodah, but he's in a state of Tumah. Now he shouldn't do that. So, but what happens to that Kohen? So the Mishnah says, Enachem v'Kohenim Mavinos Ela Beis Din. No judicial process over there. We learned back in the Mishnah. They just beat his head in until his brains come out, and that's how they take care of it. Okay? Then, Zar Shishimish B'Mikdash, and then we talk about a non-Kohen serving in the Beis HaMikdash. All right. The Gemara. We are on Beis HaMikdash, and we're at the two dots. Kohen Shishimish Betumah. By me, Rav Acha Bar Huna, Rav Shesh. Kohen Shishimish Betumah. Chayiv Misa B'Dei Shemayim, or Chayiv Misa B'Dei Shemayim. Okay, the Mishnah takes us well beyond what the actual violation is, and the Mishnah talks about other Kohanim dragging him outside and killing him outside the Beis Hamikdash. Right? But the Gemara over here, the Amoraim, have a very straightforward question. So straightforward. What's the actual Isser? Meaning, we know it's prohibited. If a Kohen is Tami, he can't serve in the Beis HaMikdash. We're well aware of that. What we are not aware of is what's the actual punishment if he does? What is the violation?
Can I ask a simple question? How do they know if he's Tami?
Oh, they don't know. How is it known?
Yeah. They saw him.
Someone saw him. So, right, you have to say that somebody saw him. In other words, if he walks in, everyone has a presumption of being fine.
All right.
Right? Everyone, we all have a presumption of being kosher, of being tahora. So no, this is where it's well known. I'm related to Nisua Kohen Shishimish. Okay. So the Gemara now will offer the following argument. Let's look back at our Mishnah. We learned in our Mishnah that Kohen can drag him outside and kill him. Okay? Now that doesn't tell us what the punishment is, but it hints to it. Right? The Gemara's first argument is, well, if he is Chayiv Bidei Shamayim, so why don't we let God take care of it? What are we doing taking care of it? Let God take care of it. God, Misa Bidei Shamayim, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's all yours. You deal with it.
What do we say? Kores is before 60, and what is Misa B'deishamayim?
Misa B'deishamayim is a lower level than Kores. It's the first Tosus in Yevamos. Not the first, but on the first page in Yevamos, Tosus over there goes to a discussion of what's Kares, what's Misa B'deishamayim. Tosus has multiple opinions over there, what exactly the difference is. But generally speaking, Kares is a harsher form of Misa B'deishamayim. Okay? Ela Mai. So the Gemara says, okay. So what? So you're telling me if the Kohanim is obviously not Chayiv Misa B'deishamayim. Otherwise, why would the Kohanim be killing him? Ela Mai. No Chayiv Miika Mida Derechmana Patre Vana Neko Menekole. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's just flip the argument for just a moment. Right? What are you saying? You're saying that he's not Chayiv Misa B'deishamayim, and we kill him? That also doesn't make any sense. That's totally illogical. V'lo v'atanan. So the Gemara says, well, let's go back and let's review some of the things that we learned over the past couple days. Misha laka v'shana beit machnis and osa l'kipa. So somebody who's a repeat offender, not a capital crime, a lav. Someone who's a repeat offender, we learned in the Mishnah that Basin has the right to take him and put him in kipa and allow him to die. So Rachman apache v'anan kadlin alay. So the Torah says, look, it's not a capital crime, but we go ahead and we kill. So the Gemara says, okay, but remember also what we learned. Hamar Rav Yirmiyah, Amar Ish Lakish B'Makios, Shel Krisos, Askinan, Degavar Bar Katoluhu. Let's remind each other. There we were talking about someone who is actually Chayav Kares. That kind of love, like a person sleeping with a sister. That's a love that comes with a Kares. If he's a repeat offender on that, now Beis Din has the right to say, you know what? You obviously don't care about your life. You were a repeat offender on an Isser Kares. All right, let's take care of it. Now, what we're going to do now is basically chazer all the different cases that we've seen recently where Beis Din can, or a Kanai, can go ahead and kill somebody. And the question is, what level of liability does he have? The Hagonev HaKisva. So what about stealing Kli Sharis? Hamar Rav Yehuda be Kli Sharis Askinan. Remiza lo yavo leros kabelas HaKodesh. Vamesu. That's also Misa B'dei Shamayim. So once again, there's a situation where the guy's Chayev Kares, then and only then can you have somebody take his life because he's Chayev Kares. V'hamekawal es HaKosem. What about Mekawal es HaKosem? Hatani Rav Yosef Yaka Kosem es Kosmo. Demechzikim Avarchis Hashem. Mekawal es HaKosem is basically blasphemy. Okay, it's not technically blasphemy. Blasphemy is a capital crime. Yaki Yosi is Yosi. But over here, it's similar to blasphemy. Now, it's funny, the Gemara doesn't finish the sentence. Right? And what? And therefore, it's almost like a capital crime. It's kares. Right? The Gemara doesn't punctuate over here. But it sounds like from the Gemara that it's a very heinous act. It's like blasphemy. V'habolos akusis. So the Gemara says, what about having relations with a non-Jew? Kanayim pogimbo. What level of chiyuv does he have? Ha'ikra l'rav, kahana b'chamei, v'adkar l'rav, l'gamrei. Yeah, but also, again, remember what we learned yesterday. There was a dream that Rav Kahana had, and in the dream, the Kadosh Baruch Hu came to him in the dream and read him the pasuk that says that this is an act of kares, learned from the pasukim and malachi. So again, every single time we've seen, either through kippa or through kanayim pogimbo, every single time that we've seen that we have the right to put somebody to death, it's only because he's chayv kares. So therefore, by extension, it would therefore make sense that by the Kohen who serves in the Beis HaMikdash while he's Tameh, the Chiyuv is the Chiyuv Misa. Eisvei.
Through Kares, because he's liable for Kares?
I'm saying Misa, Kares, right now, the terms for our purposes are synonymous.
It has to be Kares to be eligible to be punished.
Right, correct. That's correct. Eisvei, the Gemara says, I'm going to challenge you. Hayotzik v'habole v'apote tamolech u'minif v'amigish v'amaseret v'sashuch v'amaitif v'sadneres v'akomish v'amakabal damim v'chutz. Potter. Doing any one of these activities outside the Beis HaMikdash, you would be Potter. When we start off Masechta Krisus, we're going to learn that Shkutei Chutz, that shechting an animal outside the Beis HaMikdash, or offering a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash, both are punishable by Kares. Other types of avodas that are done outside the Beis HaMikdash are not punishable by Kares. And here, this braisa gives us a lengthy list of different avodas that are done inside the Beis HaMikdash. And the point the braisa is making is that any of these actions that are done outside the Beis HaMikdash, you are not punished by kares. Let's quickly run through these. Again, it's just kind of a primer to Masechta Kachim. Yotzei, pouring oil on the mincha. Bolo, mixing the flour and the oil together. Poseis, certain menachos are first baked, then crumbled. Amoleach, salting the offering. Menif, waving the offering. Certain karbanos need to be waved. Megish, presenting the offering to the Mizbeach. Mesader, a shochan, setting up the lechem upon him on the shochan. Nativ, a neros, cleaning the neros. Komates, taking a kamitza, a fistful of the mincha. Hamekabel damim, or accepting the blood after having shechted the animal. What is the common denominator of all these types of avodas? Said Rashi, it's simple. There is an avoda to be done after this avoda. Right, when we get to Kachim and Menachos, we're going to see the progression of avodas. Every one of these things we just mentioned is just part of a process, not the end of the process. And the only type of avoda that's done outside the Beis HaMikdash, that Yochayev Kares, is only an end avoda, not a middle avoda. Okay? Bechutz Pater. The Ein Chayavan Aleihem Lo Mishum Zaris V'lo Mishum Tuma V'lo Mishum Mechusa Begadim. And if you engage in any one of these types of avoda, you're not going to be chayiv if you're a non-Kohen. You're not going to be chayiv if you do so if you're a Kohen in a state of tuma. You're not going to be chayiv if you're a Kohen but you're not wearing the begadim. V'lo Mishum Richutz Yadayim V'raglayim, and also if you're a Kohen who failed to wash your hands and feet, which is the first thing you need to do when you start the avoda. So in any one of these activities, right, that we just mentioned in the beginning of the brayse, yotzei, bolo, etc., etc., so you're not going to be chayav, because these are not end avodas, these are only mid avodas.
So even though there's a card associated with them, they don't kill you.
But not with the
end. No. The point the brayse is making is that there's no kares.
No,
there's no kares for any of them.
Right.
For any of these, there's no kares. Ein chayavin, you're not going to be chayav. Hamikatir, okay, now that we've read this brisa, now we're entitled to make the following diuk. Hamikatir, if you are burning, chayav, so you will be chayav. Now, all the brisa says is the word chayav, which means that comes with this action a Torah prohibition and a Torah liability. What prohibition, what level of liability does one have when he does this? So now the Gemara is going to speculate. My love, Misa? Are we not talking about Misa? Lo be'azara. So the Gemara says, no, it's still love. It is not Misa b'dei shamayim. It is only a love, only meaning relative to it being Misa b'dei shamayim. And so therefore there's no conclusion to be arrived at from over here. Elazar Nami Lazara, the Aksiva Hazara Krev Yumas, the Gemara says, wait a second. You know that if a non-Kohen does the Avoda, the punishment is Misa Bidei Shamayim. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, now that's strange, because in this Braisa, there are many violations that we're talking about, but one of the violations that we're talking about is a non-Kohen doing the Avoda. And we know that that's Misa Bidei Shamayim. So if you want it, and contextually, it would seem that the rest of the Braisa is also talking about Misa Bidei Shamayim, and the Gemara says, Hakadisa Hakadisa, not necessarily. Right, some things are Misa Bidei Shamayim, some things are just a lav. Okay.
I'm sorry, can you just explain to me, what was the point of bringing out Braita? What was it?
The Gemara wanted to try, attempted to prove that when you are a Kohen serving in the Beis HaMikdash in the state of Tumah, the punishment is Misa Bidei Shamayim.
I understand.
Right. The Braisa over here says that if you do these not the right. End avodas, but all these middle avodas, right? So you're not gonna be chayav.
Okay.
Which sounds like that if you do an end avoda, then you are chayav. Sounds that way. Uh-huh. And then the Gemara says, now chayav what? Seems to be just from the context of the Braisa, Misa Bidei Shamayim. So that would prove that if you're a Kohen who is doing the avoda in a state of tumah, you're chayiv misa bidei shamayim. That's the proof. And the Gemara says no. Chayiv in the brisa means only a lav, not misa bidei shamayim. Okay.
Right, Rabbi, the assumption here is that if it was zbachim, it would be the four main avodas. And the question is, what are the power of menachos?
No, when it comes to
this is all about menachos.
No. Meitiv, it's aneros.
No, I'm saying, right, I'm saying, by Svatna, it would be Shechita, Kamal Sadam, Malacha, and...
Right, that's true, but in other words, for this, for Shechut Echutz, it's not the four avodas, it's the end of avoda. Rashi,
it wouldn't be the four avodas by...
No, it's only an end of avoda. Right, Rashi on the bottom of the page, right, okay.
How would you classify it? That may be a totally different element. The deaths of Nodav and Abihu.
Yeah, that was.
That was.
All right, but the Gemara over there has a separate discussion of what exactly that was. But I don't know.
It was probably Kores.
Shistu, might have been Shistu Yeyayin.
Yeah, right. They imposed Kores in terms of it from a Remember, they died very young.
Or Misa Bidei Shamar. Could have been that. Mechlal de Yotze Gavol Alav Nami. So the okay, the I'm sorry. Mechlal de Yotzik of all lab nami lo. So the Gemara says, yeah, but okay, based on the bracha we just learned, it sounds like Yotzik pouring the oil, bolo mixing the oil with the flour are not even a lab that time. But yet we learned in another bracha, azar the Yotzik of all minayin time alav kadoshim miyov lo yichalulu, that you have to be kaddish, you have to be holy. And if you're going to engage in the activities of Yotzik and Bolo, you must be holy. The fact that we're darshaning it from a pasuk sounds like an Issur D'oraisa. And yet we learned in this brayse it's not even a lav. So the Gemara says, Midraban v'kras machta ba'almo. So the Gemara says, well, what you can argue is that it is only an Issur D'Rabbanan, and cross machta ba'almo, and the pasuk over here is just an asmachta. Meisir, the Gemara says, ve'elu hein sheben mitha, tamei sheshimesh. So the Gemara says, we have a Bryce, and the Bryce says, these are your Chayiv Misa, Tamish Shemesh, Tiyufta. The Gemara says, okay, this Bryce over here is a clear refutation that a person who's Tamish and is Mishamish and does the Avoda while he's in the state of Tumah is Chayiv Misa. So the Gemara, this always is interesting. I don't have full clarity. Once you know this Bryce, and the Bryce spells it out, that it's Cohen who's tummy and does the avoda is Chayv Misa, why do we go through the other braisas? What are we trying to make the yukim in the other braisa? When meanwhile this braisa comes along, it could be just simply the process of how to learn braisas and making the yukim in braisas, but it is strange. Here the braisa doesn't, there's no inference, it just says it straight out. A Cohen who serves in the, who does the avoda while tummy is Chayv Misa. Okay.
What type of Misa?
Misa B'Deshamayim. Okay, Gufa. And away we go. Elu Shebe Misa. We're going to go now through a whole list of things that carry with it the punishment of Misa B'Dei Shamayim, death by the hands of heaven.
Okay, the point of all this, whether it is Misa B'Dei Shamayim or not, is to see whether the Pirkei Kohanim can kill this God based on this concept.
Right.
That
we know the Pirkei Kohanim can kill. The Mishnah says it. So we know the Pirkei Kohanim can kill. That's pretty much the what the Gemara wants to know. Is it based on the fact that really they're Chayv Misa B'Dei Shamayim, and then sometimes for whatever reason, Halacha Moshe Messina is the best I could say, sometimes we can just simply take the law in our own hands, act on behalf of God, or is it something else? And the Gemara safely concludes over here, it's Misa B'Dei Shamayim. And then under certain circumstances, we can actually help God.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. Gufa, the Elu Sheba Misa. We're going to now go through a list of things that are Chayv Misa B'Dei Shamayim. Okay? It's just a lot of facts that we're going to present, the Gemara is going to present in front of us. Who is Chayv Misa B'Dei Shamayim? Again, Misa B'Dei Shamayim, death by the hands of heaven, it means a premature death. What exactly that means, and does it affect your children? So again, I reference you, Tosfos discusses it, the Ramban and Chumash also discusses it. What exactly is kares and what's Misa B'Dei Shamayim? Ha'ochel es ha-tevel. You eat tevel, food that was untied. You didn't take off trumas and maestros. Two, kohen tamei she'achel truma tahor.
Kohen or everybody?
Only kohanim are allowed to eat truma. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Tevel for everybody. I'm sorry. Kohen.
There's no malchus for these things?
No, they may be. Some of them may be lavin.
They might have malchus and Misa B'Dei Shamayim?
Yeah. Well, right.
There's no double jeopardy.
Right, there is an opinion in Makos. We get to the end of Makos. There's an opinion in Makos. One opinion that it's either or.
Yeah, right.
You can't get both. But that's not. We don't accept that opinion.
Don't we say Makos, Makos, Misa, by this?
No, but that, no, that's by, that's by, no, not, not, not here. This is not by Misa B'dei Shamayim. Right. Ha'ochel Satevel, V'koin Tamei She'ochel Truma Tahora, a Tamei Kohen who eats Truma Tahora, that's Misa B'dei Shamayim, Zar She'ochel Satruma, non-Kohen who eats Truma, Zar She'shimesh, a non-Kohen who does temple service, Tamei She'shimesh, somebody who's Tamei, a Kohen is Tamei, I should say, who serves in the temple, Utvuyom Shishimesh. By the way, the whole reason why we're learning this Brisa over here is because we just got done concluding this one segment of the Brisa. That a Kohen who's Tamei is Mishamesh is Chayv Misa B'dei Shamayim. Okay? Tvuyom Shishimesh. A Tvuyom. Somebody who's Tamei, Tovels in the Mikvah, he needs now what's called Harav Shemesh. Harav Shemesh means he needs to wait till sunset. Once sun sets, so he can eat his truma. You remember the first Mishnah Brachos? First Mishnah Brachos says, when can we say Shema at night? And the Mishnah over there says, when the Kohanim are allowed to eat the truma. What? Yeah. In other words, the Mishnah Brachos is describing a Kohen who that day becomes Tameh, Tovah's in the Mikvah. That's only step one of his Tahara process. The other step of the process is waiting until nightfall. Once nightfall comes, he can eat his truma. Mechusa Begadim. He's not wearing all of his Kohen clothing, right? And without the Kohen clothing, he's not a Kohen. He's a Kohen. He can't serve in the Beis Hamikdash. Mechusar Kapara. Mechusar Kapara, there are certain types of tuma that you need to bring a karbon before you can engage in eating kachem again. Like, for example, Zavar Nida Yolades.
Tzoriyot.
Huh? Thank you. Nida didn't sound right. Thank you. Zav Zava Mitzari Yoladis. So they can't eat any karbanos until they bring their own karbanos. This is what's called Mechusar Kapara. Right? So on the seventh day, that means to say on the seventh day they're going to tov in the mikvah. That night they'll experience Harav Shemesh, but that's not enough. For these people on the next day, on the eighth day, they bring special karbanos, asham chatos, right, depending on which one it is. And then and only then can they eat karbanos. If they are mechusar kapara and they eat karban, Misa b'dei shemayim. Shlorach atzedan v'raglayim, not washing your hands and feet. Shesui yayim, being drunk and doing temple service. Purei rosh, not having gotten a haircut within 30 days. Kohanim need to get haircuts within 30 days. Aval, okay? All those are actions where, if any one of these actions we just described, Misa b'dei shemayim, the punishment is Misa b'dei shemayim. Aval, aro v'onein, An uncircumcised Kohen, an Onen, a Kohen who has lost a family member and does the Avoda on that day. The Yoshev, or a Kohen who's sitting and doing the Avoda. Sitting and doing the Avoda. No, sitting's not allowed. So, Enam B'Misa Ela Bazara. So, that is not Misa B'Dei Shamayim. It is only a lav for those actions. And finally, so long brisa. Ba'mom, if he is a blemished Kohen, last week's parsha, we described what types of mumim would disqualify a Kohen from doing the avoda. When we get to Bechoros, so the Gemara over there is going to have a lengthy discussion of what exactly those mumim are. So ba'mom, Rabbi Omer ben Misa, if you are a blemished Kohen doing the avoda, so Rabbi says it's Misa b'yei shamayim v'chachamim omrim be'azhara. One more point in the Brisa. Hizid b'mi'ila. What if you're mol behekdesh? You use something that belongs to the temple. Misappropriate is a nice way to say it. Right? Hizid b'mi'ila, and you do it intentionally. What's the punishment? Rabbi Omer b'misa v'chachamim omrim be'azhara. Okay. Period. End of the Brisa. That was machine gun. Right? That was, I didn't count, well over a dozen separate prohibitions in the Torah. Some of them you're chayv misa b'dei shamayim, some of them is only a lav, and then a couple at the end are subject to a machlokas between the Tanayim, what exactly the punishment is for those actions. Now what the Gemara will do from here until the rest of today's daf is cite the psukim of how we know this information. Limudim.
We should be chachamim b'azhara then, for these cases.
I would assume. I don't know. I don't know.
This is just an extension of the discussion we had about, you know, Pirkei Kuna. This is not related anymore to that. It's just going on.
Once we quoted that Braisa of a non-Kohen being Mishamish and he gets Misa, so then we quoted the entire Braisa, and then this is the way the Gemara operates. So we quoted the entire Braisa, and now we're going to go through every one of the things, citing the Psukim and how we know this. Okay, so let's begin. Ha'ochel satevel, mi nolan. So number one, eating tevel, we said is Misa b'day Shemaim. How do we know that? Damar Shmuel, Mishum Rav Elazar, minayin la'ochel satevel, shehu ben Misa. How do I know that? Tichsiv, v'lo yichalu es kachay b'nei Yisrael, es asher yarimu la'ashem, asher yarimu la'ashem. And the Gemara darshins, b'asidim litrom ha'kasov medaber. Not that you took off truma, that you will take off truma. So for that pasuk is describing produce, grapes, oil, wine, where you plan on taking off truma. So right now it's what's called tevel. Tevel just simply means produce where you haven't taken off truma to maizos. And the Torah says you are mechalel, you profane the yalef chilu chilu mitruma. And we're going to learn a gzer shava. Mala halam b'misa afkam b'misa. Now we know that if a non-Kohen eats truma, the punishment is misa b'day shamayim. Similarly, the same thing is going to be true by the consumption of tevel, misa b'day shamayim. And it's based on a gzer shava of chilol chilol. The nail of chilol chilol means nosar. The Gemara says, yeah, but chilol could also be connected to nosar. By nosar, the Torah uses the words chilo, malahalam karis afkam bekaris, and if that would be true, so then it would be not a punishment of misa b'day shamayim, but rather it would be a slightly more serious death penalty of karis, mistabra mitruma havalei lamelef. It's more logical to learn it through truma. Now, the Gemara over here is going through svar, it's going through logic. If this is a gzeres shava, just posing a somewhat of a question. If it's a gzeres shava, so gzeres shava is a Kabbalah, it's a tradition that you have in your Rebbe. So why the Gemara over here is pointing to two different destinations of where we can learn the gzeres shava and using a logical deduction to go with one over the other, okay, it's difficult to understand why that, how exactly that works. Hashikain, now what is that logical, why logically am I connecting the tevel to truma, shikain. Tevel has a lot in common with truma. Number one, truma is truma, and tevel has truma in it. Number two, chutza la'aretz. Neither truma or tevel apply in chutza la'aretz. Only applies in Israel. There's a derabbanan, but on a Torah level, in terms of making gzer shava, they don't apply. Hutra berabim. Hutra berabim. I had a momentary lapse of all sense and sensibility. Well, I'm sorry, I just lost it.
It's in
another page. No, it's
on Truma Chutz La'aretz. Thank you. Where are you? Where am I? Truma, may nosa truma chutz la'aretz, right? Simanim, correct. Aval nosa in hetali sur zenim. Yesh hetali sur. Oh, I'm sorry, right? Zayesh hetali sur, but Parashat Zayesh hetali sur de tavel. Umotu b'truma. Okay, sorry. Hutra b'rabim, they both can become permissible, right? If let's say, for example, thank you. Okay, I'm back. By tevel, all you have to do is separate the truma, and now the tevel becomes no longer tevel. And by truma, all the kohen needs to do is tevel in the mikvah, and then he's allowed to eat the truma. Okay, hutra b'rabim.
What is it doing?
I'm sorry. B'rabim is separate. That's why I got confused. Okay, I'm back. Berabim, the word chilo in both of them are mentioned in the plural. Yechaleluhu. And meanwhile, by nosar, it's only mentioned in the singular. Thank you. Peros, this is already number five. Peros, they're both referring, truma and tevel refer to fruit and produce. And nosar applies to meat. Pigol, venosar. Pigol, venosar don't have any relevance at all to neither tevel nor truma. So on six counts, and based on my count, on six counts, Shum and Tevel have a lot in common. Adarabo, the Gemara goes in the other direction. What about Nosar? Let's compare Tevel to Nosar. Havelemeshekein Pasul. Number one, they're disqualified. Psul Ochel. Sorry. It is a disqualification of the food. Tevel is a disqualification of the food.
Nosar
is a disqualification of the food.
No, but I think one can be fixed.
Right. The non cone. The cone who's Tamei, so he's not. The problem's not with the food. The problem's with him.
See, the thing is that their Tevel and Notar are the opposites, meaning that Tevel has the potential to become permissible.
Right. You're going back to the first argument. Okay, that's fine. Ein lo heter b'mikvah. Also, another thing that Tevel and Notar have in common, mikvah's not going to help for either. Right? By Truma, the Kohen who's Tameh, mikvah will help. All right. So it's 6-2. Okay. Usually when the Gemara does things like this, it's like a closer, right? The score at the end comes out a lot closer. Right? This was a 6-6. Okay. You're right. We don't need to call Mariano for this one. It's okay. So Enlo had to be mikvah. Hanach Nefishin, so the Gemara says there's more in common between Tevel and Truma. Ravina says, again, same basic point. There's Tevel and Truma have to do with more one another, but instead of counting out all the things that they have in common with one another, Amar Chil Derabim Yichil Derabim Adif. Look, let's say it very simply. Yichala Luhu. I'm making a Gzeir Shava. I will make a Gzeir Shava. The words are more in common with one another. The fact that the word Chil is mentioned in plural by Truma, by Tevel, tells me that it's a clear Gzeirah Shavah. Okay, that's number one. Number two, mentioned in the Braitha. Kohen Tamei she'achol Truma Tahara. Mi nalan, Tamei Shmuel, Mi nalan Kohen Tamei she'achol Truma Tahara, Shu ben Nisa, Bidei Shamayim, Dechziv, V'shamru es Meshmarti, V'lo Yisu alav Chet. Torah says, Lo Yisu alav Chet. Tahara in, Tamei'a lo. Now, in order to successfully violate this Isser, it has to be a Kohen Tamei who eats Truma Tahora. What if both are Tamei? What if the Kohen is Tamei and the Truma is Tamei? Lo. Damer Shmuel, Amar Rav Elazar. Minayin. Le Kohen Tamei she'achol Truma Tamei'a. She'eino ben Misa. She'nemro Misa bo. Ki yechaleluhu. Prat lezu. She'mechulalas ve'omedes. If both are Tamei, so already it's Mechulal. It's Mechulal ve'omedet, so therefore it's not Chiv Misa. Zar she'achol se Truma. A non-Kohen eating Truma. I'm a Rav. Zar she'achol se Truma loka. So Rav says you get Malkus. Now that just smacked right against the Braisa. The Braisa says you get Misa b'dei Shamayim. And Rav is saying you get Malkus. I'm Rav Kahana, Rav Asa, Rav Lema Mar Ben Misa, Dichsiv Chozar Lo Yochal Kodesh. Ani Hashem Mikadosh. Ani.
That's the answer.
I'm sorry. Lo Yochal Kodesh. Ani Hashem Mikadoshem. Hifsik HaInyan. The Ani Hashem Mikadoshem is a break, a natural break in the Psukim. So Zar Lo Yochal Kodesh. Chozar Lo Yochal Kodesh no longer contains with it the Kari's prohibition, the Misa prohibition. So now the students of Rav Kahana, Rav Asi, they turn to Rav and they say to Rav, but Rebbe, the Braisa. So Masnisa and the Rav Karamis, Rav Tanu Upalik. So here the Gemara trots out now a rule that it brings out every now and then, and that is Rav Tanu Upalik. You're right, the Braisa is against me. Rav Tanu Upalik. Zashishimish Dichsiva Azarkar of Yumas. A non-Kohen who does the Avodah, okay, so that's easy. Pasuk says it. We don't need to darshan. Pasuk says straight out, Azar Krev Yumas. Tamish Hashimesh, Kedabai Minei Rav Chia Barav, Minei Rav Yosef, Minei Latamish Hashimesh, Uim Bemisa, Tichsiv Daber Al Aram, Vel Banav, Vinazru Mikadshe Bnei Yisrael, Velo Yechalalu Eshem Kadshi. Once again, Lo Yechalalu. And it's in the plural. So the yalav chiluv chilu mitruma malahalam b'misa afkam b'misa. Again, the Gemara says v'nei yalav chiluv chilu min nosar malahalam kares afkam kares. why don't we take the Gzeirah Shava in the direction of Nosar, which would then just ratchet it up from Misa to Kares? Nistaber Michuma Havalamela Shekain Guf Tame Mikva Birabim. It makes more sense that I'm gonna connect a Tame who does the Avoda to Truma. Number one, to a Tame eating Truma. Number one, Guf Tame, right? The person is Tame. Two, Mikva is a way to rectify the situation. Three, Birabim. It's in the plural. Adrabim Minos Havalamela Shekain Kodesh. Pinim, Pigol, Vinosar. So the Gemara says, yeah, but let's learn out from Nosar. Because of the common denominators. Number one, Kodesh. Number two, it takes place inside the Beis HaMikdash. Three, both are subject to Pigol. And finally, four, both are subject to Nosar. So actually, over here, you actually have more in common with Nosar. Chil derabim, Michil derabim. So the Gemara says, Yichaleluhu, in the plural, is better. Okay, let's do one more and we'll stop for today. Tvul yom sheshimesh. A tvul yom, that means someone who's tamei, Kohen's tamei, who told them the mikvah but did not wait until nightfall. He does the avoda, misa bidei shamayim. Mi na lan. How do I know that? The Tanya Rav Simai Omer. Rem is the tvul yom she'in. She'im avad chilel. Minayin. How do I know this? Tamalom kedoshim yu lalokechem. V'lo yichalalu. We already know that if a kohen is tameh, he serves. We already know from Vinazru. Taneu inyan l'tful yom. So we're going to learn how tful yom. Tful yom is like a quasi tumah. It's like somewhere between tameh and tahor. Shishimish v'yalev chiluchil mitruma. Malahalam b'misa afkan b'misa. And once again, you have the word yichaluhu. And at this point in time, now we are trained to know that yichaluhu always will take us to the place of truma. And we know that a kohen whose tummy which truma is chayiv misa bidei shamayim. Similarly, the tful yom is also going to be chayiv misa bidei shamayim. Good.
Right.
Stop over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow. Finish off the ninth parak tomorrow, God willing, and start hanechnakim.